Okay, I'd like to introduce our next presentation here at the Planet MicroCap Showcase Vancouver in association with Small Cap Discoveries. We have Jim Rekovich from McCoy Global.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. I'm glad to see a nice crowd here this morning, and happy to bring you up to speed on the story about McCoy Global. We focus on shareholder returns. We're in the oil and gas industry. We are not a service company. We're a technology provider to service companies generally, and casing running companies and drilling companies. We sell all over the world. I'll talk about that. We have a clean balance sheet, no debt. We generate positive cash, and we try to keep our shares low. I heard a presentation this morning. We're right around that 25 million shares, so I was happy to see that. And we have enough working capital on our balance sheet to progress our technology roadmap on our growth strategy and execute on our share buybacks and our dividend. So what's the opportunity with McCoy? We're a global provider of tubular running service equipment and technology with a long history of innovation. So tubular running services, every well that's drilled just quickly in the oil and gas industry, whether it's offshore or land, whether they're drilling for gas or oil, they run casing in every well, and it's 40-foot sections of pipe that get screwed together, and it sounds pretty simple, but it's very complicated. The integrity of a well is reliant on every connection being made correctly and to tight tolerances, and they need the right kind of equipment and capable technical people to be able to do that job. We have a global brand, which separates us from a lot of our competitors that I'll talk about. And again, we're profitable in a capital-efficient business. And our potential for upside on the adoption of our new technologies is not insignificant. And we've been working on our technology roadmap for 6 years. It's been supported through cash flow from our traditional business that we've had for many, many years. And just recently, I'll talk about some of the new technologies that have hit the market in the last year and a half and have been, they're part of our full tubular running service package, automated package that's coming. But as individual products, they've been tremendously successful and actually exceeded our expectations, and I'll talk about that. So what's the prize here for McCoy? The largest cost of running casing in a well is labor. Typically in the U.S. land market, 50 to 60% of the cost of running casing in the well is labor. And why did we embark on this 6 years ago? Our job was to solve the biggest problems our customers had, recruiting, training, and retaining people. It takes six, sometimes eight individuals on a rig in West Texas in 40 Celsius weather, in dangerous, right in the red zone, a lot of injuries, a lot of back injuries, a lot of finger injuries and hand injuries, and accidents happen. So, thank you. So we embarked on a journey to make that problem go away for our customers, and by reducing the size of that labor requirement by two-thirds. And we believe we're at the cusp of introducing new technology that do that. We've already reduced one person with our just one tool that we introduced to the market a year and a half ago. And we've done some field trials, test rig trials on our full package. And that when that becomes fully field trialed and commercialized, then we'll reduce two-thirds. So imagine taking two-thirds of $1 billion of cost out of the market. Now, we're not going to get it all, but we're going to get a good piece. And McCoy won't get all of the savings, but we'll get a good substantial portion of it. So what's the opportunity for McCoy that's a 50 million market cap, 60 million market cap? What's our opportunity? It's significant. We're a global leader. We sell to the biggest, some of the biggest players in the global market, and we have a very strong brand, and we sell all over the world. Now, this map, it shows you that we fluctuate year to year. So last year, our largest revenue-generating area was the U.S. land market, of all places. Rig counts were down significantly in the U.S. land market last year, but because we introduced new technology that solved a lot of problems and saved our customers a lot of money, we had our strongest growth year was in the U.S. land market, where everybody else was not buying equipment. They were buying ours because of the problems we were solving. So, and that has continued into this year in that market, and the rig counts keep going down. So this last year, we did 60% of our revenue in the what we call the Western Hemisphere and 40% in the Eastern. It was opposite prior. So the best way to think of McCoy is, on the average, we're gonna half our revenue comes from the other side of the world, half our revenue comes from this side of the world. So we have lots of exposure, shipped to 50 countries a year. This slide shows you, you know, why is our I get often and asked, well, you're going to have competitors. When are your competitors going to follow suit and develop what you spent 6 years developing and copy it? Well, this is the issue right here is on this slide, is we have the broadest range of all of the technologies that are required to put together what we describe as a full casing running package. We have lots of competitors on individual products, but none of them have the full product line like we have. And so in order for the others, if they decide to copy or follow suit and say, we're going to develop an integrated package, they would either have to acquire or develop over a long period of time all of those other individual technologies that are not parts of their portfolios. So that's a big deal. It's a big advantage for us. And being first to market is really important. And we do have IP on many of these products, that FMS, that's been the handling equipment tool that you see there. That's been our initial component, individual product, part of that package that we commercialized. We have IP around that, and it's the only one of its kind in the world. The other thing is the last quadrant is the footprint in the Eastern Hemisphere. We've been selling into the MENA region and the Eastern Hemisphere, Southeast Asia, North Africa for 25 years. And we have a physical footprint. We in Jebel Ali, just outside of Dubai. We have a distribution warehouse. We have a full suite of technical salespeople in that region, and replacement parts, consumables, and our customers in that region are very appreciative of having somebody in the same time zone in their backyard helping them. Our financial performance, you can see on the growth on the revenue side. We've since coming out of COVID, we've had a pretty strong quarter-to-quarter and year-over-year growth. We are lumpy. We are a producer of technologies, and we don't recognize revenue till we ship, so until title transfers. And so sometimes stuff gets left on the dock at the end of the quarter and doesn't get picked up. We use letters of credit, have to clear all kinds of stuff. So, but on an annualized basis, we continue to grow, and we expect that to continue. So this slide here is describing, you know, where are we generating our revenue, what kind of buckets of products and services, and what's the margin profile. The interesting thing here is that whole first column, casing running tools, handling tools, the FMS, including smart technologies, we didn't have any of those 4 years ago. That column didn't exist. And our largest revenue-generating category was what I call the legacy tools, the hydraulic power tongs and other capital equipment. That equipment's been around a long time. On the previous slide, I showed you we do have competitors in hydraulic power tongs, and it's a commodity. So the margins are lower, harder to sell. You've got a lot of competition. But the casing running tool has been eroding that market because it's a different technology that works better, works differently. And so the hydraulic power tongs that have been used for 50 years, their market is shrinking. and competition is really tight, like I described. But now that we have that full first column, because it's differentiated, it's not as commoditized, we have much better margins, and it's our fastest growing segment of our revenue stream. And so you will continue in the future to see that segment grow and erode away the other area. And so that obviously means that our margins will continue to improve as that trend goes. The other piece of our business that's maybe underappreciated is the aftermarket. If you look at any of our quarterly results, even though we don't segment them, you can see here 40% of our revenue on any given quarter, roughly, is going to be aftermarket, replacement parts and consumables and service. And that is good business, and the margin profile is very good on replacement parts and consumables. And so it's a what I call a recurring revenue stream, because the more installed base we have, the more that recurring revenue we get. And it's a good part of our business. So, McCoy, we're ideally positioned to address our industry's biggest challenge, people. The lack of reliable and skilled labor is driving the demand for automation. National oil companies, multinational service providers, everybody wants safe. Safety is a big priority. What are we ultimately delivering with our automated package? We're delivering safety, efficiency, and better wellbore integrity. And we're taking away the required for experienced people who are reading graphs and figuring them out and making decisions because of experience. Our software does all of that. And so again, it's an industry step change. We're already in the middle quadrant. We could already move one of those heads out of there. We're in the center. We're heading to the right, the TRS using McCoy Smart TR. Where we're at with that, but between now and the end of the year, we're hoping to complete full field trials, which is real wells in the U.S., running casing with our fully integrated package. We've done it on test rigs, but you got to do it on real wells with real customers and get the technology proven. And then assuming we successfully complete those field trials, then 2025 is when we go for full commercialization. Now, when we commercialize, again, we've got hardware that we can sell or rent, which is the tools, but the software is not for sale and the data, so that it's a SaaS model. We've already sold our first SaaS product in June when we announced we had a big deep water offshore project that we successfully got a contract for. And so going forward, McCoy's revenue stream is going to be the equipment, but it's also going to have a recurring revenue stream. You won't be able to automate this package at all without the subscription. So again, barriers to entry, we're going to be first to market, just like we are with the FMS. You know, we expect it to ship. We told our board that, you know, in our budget for 2023 that we were going to deliver 40 FMS. By the end of this year, we're going to deliver over just about 100. So it's been, the adoption's been fabulous. I don't guarantee this kind of adoption on our full package. First, we got to get them to like it and use it and work really well. But the opportunity is definitely there. And this is just a repeat. I always like to end with reminding you that nobody else has full suite of products like we have. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. We're hoping to complete three field trials because we believe, you know, in our experience, we have to do three full complete jobs minimum. So we're hoping to complete those by the end of this year, December 31st, 2024. No guarantees, but, you know, you got to line up the rigs. It's got to be the right well profile and all that kind of stuff. But Yes, we have a customer that's actually even invested from the early days in this project, because the customers want to have this technology so bad that some of the more forward-thinking clients, the bigger guys, they want technology because they're sick and tired of, in West Texas, half of the applicants that they get for casing hands can't even pass a P test. So, you know, it's just the most expensive cost they have and the most painful process they have.
Hi, good morning. Quick question, just on your revenue model. Over time, what percentage of your revenue are you expecting from your SaaS model as opposed to the one-time sales?
It's a good question. We don't know. We're working on it, and we don't forecast, obviously. We don't segment and forecast where the revenue is going to come from, but it's going to be a good, you know, it's going to grow, obviously, as we get the packages out. The only thing I will tell you is the margins will be really good.
Just quickly on the share structure, can you talk about insider ownership? And you mentioned a dividend. What's that, and future? Sorry?
What's the dividend in the future?
Yeah, well, what's the dividend now, and your share structure and.
We reintroduced a dividend a couple of years ago, and at a penny a share, and then we just last year upped it to then a year later upped it to 2 cents. We don't, we haven't announced an increase yet, but at 2 cents a share, it's 3.5% yield right now at our current stock price. We also are returning capital through our normal course issuer bid. Last year, we were successful on our NCIB. We filled it completely. We bought back 1.6 million shares at an average price, I think, of $1.46. And so, you know, we want to manage the return to shareholders between share buybacks and dividends.
Are you anticipating initial or additional investment in the service side of the business as you kind of roll out this full package after the trials? Like, do you see growth on this service?
Great question. Absolutely. We're looking at different models, but certainly at the initial stages, we already know that we're going to need to send supervisor, show them how to set up the package, set up the equipment, monitor. We do a lot of training already, and we think that'll get even higher. In our business, in our customer base, in many cases, we have our technical people training customers how to read the computers, how to work the equipment, and they get certificates to prove that they're competent. So they have to have competence training. This will increase that significantly. And, you know, we don't know 100% sure, but there's a high likelihood that we're going to introduce a certain, you know, service people being more and more involved as the equipment is being utilized in the field, for sure.
Excuse me. A lot of oil companies select their drilling contractors based on the safety record of the drilling crew. Do you have hard data to prove that drillers using your product will have lower safety, improved safety capabilities?
The best data I can give you is, so you're absolutely right. Safety is a real priority now. And even in the Middle East now has ramped that up significantly. Aramco and ADNOC, all of those national oil companies in that part of the world where labor was easy to get and cheap, but those days are gone. Safety is priority there as much as it is in North America. And think of it this way: we're removing six people from the rig floor, and in the red zone, there'll be nobody. And so, I can't tell you how many accidents that's going to reduce. I can tell you, I do have a fresh data point because I just last night put it in one of my presentations that I'm going to give to our board next week. is that in this industry, in the service industry, oil and gas service industry in North America, 53% of the accidents, lost time accidents, are in West Texas alone. So I don't know if that's a good data point for you, but that shows you if you could reduce that by half. Agree. And remember, our customers, the service companies, they're rated on their ability to get contracts by their safety record. When Chevron and Oxy and those companies are dishing out contracts, one of the when the customers are bidding, in almost every case, they have to show them their safety stats and their safety record before they can even bid on a contract. And if they don't hit a threshold, they won't accept their bid.
Hey, Jim. Over here.
Yeah.
just on the, obviously, the FMS, we're able to sell a number of those units to a large player in the Permian. Yep. They took a lot of those units. Just with the rollout of the Smart Hub technology package, has this large customer already sort of been introduced to the Smart Hub package, or is it, how are you viewing that large customer?
So that's our habit, is to, when we, you know, we know the players in our space. There's about 90 casing running companies in North America, and less than 20 of them own 60% of the, 70% of the market. And the largest player in the Permian Basin that you described has ordered and accepted the largest number of FMS when we commercialized it. And again, those are the forward-looking clients. And the answer is yes, that client, the largest player in the Permian, is anticipating having a look at this package with keen eyes to see if this is going to apply to their business model. Absolutely. We want, if I can leave one last message, I see you got 3 minutes. One last message is that we're transitioning for a long time. McCoy's been around a long time, sold a lot of equipment. Our business model was to sell on margin. We figured out what it cost us to design and produce a tong, and we said, well, we need this much margin. There's the selling price. We're selling on value now. And we've been doing that with the FMS. That price of that tool, as we introduced it and then started to understand the value that our customer is getting, we've upped that price 2 times in a year and a half, and not insignificantly, because we're learning the value. So as we move to a SaaS model, again, we're going to be value pricing as opposed to margin pricing. And yes, we will consider us the Payson of casing running.
Last question here.
What are the biggest risks you see to the execution of your game plan? You know, whether it's the rather obvious societal move away from fossil fuels or something less obvious, what keeps you awake at night?
You know, it's interesting. We've had a couple of we had a black swan with COVID-19. That kind of stuff. You know, could it happen again? I don't know. I guess the other thing that I just keep a weary eye on is what's going on in the Middle East from a geopolitical standpoint. It's a big part of our market. You know, I got a lot of folks working there in our facility, and that could disrupt things. I have no concern whatsoever over the next 10 or 15 years on the requirement for hydrocarbons in the world to still be a critical energy provider. I think that's a given. So the technology, you always have risks, but the risk was much higher 2 years ago before we got to stages where we're at now. The FMS has proven itself. We've got, as individual products, we know the mechanical all stuff works. Getting the final bugs out of the software, you know, that's, I'm feeling pretty confident there. 1 minute left. I appreciate everybody's time and the great questions. Thank you.